At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
We're talking real estate, it's Reed Brew. From Tampa's breweries to deals on the rise, we'll help you grow and maximize. It's Reed Brew time, let's raise a glass to Hobbs, Holmes, and making moves that last. So sip it slow and hear what's new. Welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome to Rebrew. This is KJ Workman with Milestone Title. I am here with my partner in crime, Melvin Bermudez. Look at me go. I nailed your last name.
You boom, did. Boom, it's boom. Only been 84 years.
84 years. 84 years ago.
Oh,
when
Jesus.
I dropped you into the ocean.
The ocean.
So we are here with a special guest today. She's actually a friend of mine. We've been and some spiritual travels together, but she is actually a fabulous loan officer. Do I say that right? Is it loan officer? Or is it
That's one way to say it, for
loan
sure.
Loan originator. I mean, there's a bunch of different
I'm
words.
I'm Katie the mortgage lady, so that's kind of what I go by.
So you're not an officer of the loan.
I can be if you need me to, I guess. Whatever it takes, like I said.
Heads up.
Rates up.
I do lay down the law with my clients. So.
Listen, I like that.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, I do. I see what you did there.
Clever. Well, Katie is with us today. She's going to be, our topic today is going to be talking about the power of coaching. And Katie is not only a coach herself, but she firmly believes, as we do, that having a coach is essential to your business. And we're going to talk about why. So I'm the only loser in the room who doesn't have a coach.
Yet.
Now, I just steal coaching material from Melvin most of the time. And then since Katie and I are friends, she'll act as my...
But you do have coaches, because think of that class that we went for NLP. That was coaching.
Right. I get moments of
coaching. Yeah.
And then I'm surrounded by coached people.
You're so being coached, like, and you're open to...
Coached adjacent.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
Yeah. I love that.
But so I'm going to play a little bit of like... Tell me why I need a coach.
Tell me why. I just went to that concert. You can't use Backstreet Boys lyrics because it's all I have in my brain.
If I could do it on purpose, I would.
I want it that way. This podcast is going to be a little larger than life.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is going to take you into the millennium.
I hate to say this. But I'm more of an NSYNC gal myself.
I mean, I am too. But when the opportunity arises, you know, I was already in Vegas for this conference anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, well.
And it all started with New Kids on the Block.
I may have been
serious.
Sitting in the hot tub, under the influence of something and just hit add to cart 3 months ago.
I'm not mad
at it because my same seats the night of the concert and the going forward, I looked up my section. I paid $175 a seat. Their $650 was the cheapest one, the top of my section, and I was at the bottom.
Yep.
$850 was my row.
I'm going to call that the power of taking action right there.
That is the power of taking action. Yes. Stop just sitting on it. If it's something you know that you're going to like and you're going to want to do, just freaking do it and figure it out later. And I think that's a good topic for the coaching piece is like
100%.
A lot of people
this is something I believe in fully. When something comes up, especially like multiple times, it's like, I kind of want to do that, right? I kind of want to do that.
Yep.
You have to pay attention.
You do.
Because
and the longer you sit on it, the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. Not only in the cost of said coaching, right? Because everything is cheaper when you do the early bird stuff, right?
Of course.
But how much is it going to cost you in your business to not get coached? Like, how much money are you losing by not doing what you need to do and like learning those
fundamentals? I actually say that all the time in relation to rates too, right? So what is a great rate going to cost you? You know, if you're working with Rocket Mortgage, no offense, I'm just going to call them out because most of the time they're not great, right?
Do it.
What's it going to cost you? Is it going to cost you time? Mm-hmm. Is it going to cost you energy? Is it going to cost you money? Yeah, sure. You can get 5.99%.
Sure can.
But your closing costs are going to be $1 million.
Right. But the same with a coach, right? There's a cost to everything. And for me, I actually had coaches for a long time. I might have got into debt because of them, because I also was choosing things that I really didn't feel alignment with. I was feeling like, I need this, I need this, I need that, I need that. And so I was hiring all these people, doing all these things, but never really in it. And so
never executing.
Yeah.
You got the knowledge.
Yeah, so some
you
of them worked,
up,
right?
You never put it in emotion.
I got
yeah.
something from everything I did. 100%. And I'm grateful. I believe everything happens with purpose. That's what I like to say versus everything happens for a reason. So
right.
everything happens with purpose. I got something from everything. But now I've taken a little bit of a different approach because I took a step back from not only coaching, but having coaches. I was like, I just kind of need to figure my shit out, right? And just
right.
I got back to me and I realized, man, I need a coach. Like, I love having a coach. It absolutely helps me see outside myself because sometimes someone needs to be, hey, you're being a little bitch.
Oh,
I don't know if we can swear on this podcast.
No,
we
sure
can't.
Everything is explicit.
I've done it twice.
It's fine.
Okay.
Every episode, we have to put the label.
I will say to your point, too, when it comes to, like, the coaching piece, and for some of us, it's that part, right? The accountability piece is someone holding you to it, right?
Yep.
But then for some of us, too, it's just the mental mind fuckery of the fact that, fuck, I paid for this shit. I better get something out of it, right?
Right.
Some
yep.
people,
that's
that works,
charge you.
Too.
Yeah, that's why it's
so
not
they
free.
Do it. You know, they do it out of, well, I paid for it. I guess I got to do this. And then they realize, oh, my God, it worked.
Yep.
They don't do it with the right reasons. They do it because they
no.
paid for it. But then they're like, whoa, it's
yep.
crazy.
And I was telling KJ this story. So I just hired one of my old coaches. I just hired her again for one-on-one coaching, and it's $3,000 a month.
Right.
And most people are probably like, that's more than my mortgage, right? And I was trying to decide what I was going to do going forward. I'd worked with her for a month. I was feeling much better and more secure in my business. I was feeling like I really want to do it. But also, I was looking at my spending action plan. That's what I call my budget. My spending action plan. It's a lot more fun, right?
Yep. Right, because it allows you. Doesn't restrict you.
Yes. Budget comes from restriction and lack. So my spending action plan, and I was like, is this something that's really in the plan? And my ego started to be like, almost like the devil on your shoulder, like, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to kind of give it to God and the universe, and I will know the right answer. And we had a call.
Oh, go ahead. Finish, because I have a thing. Go ahead.
Okay. We had a call scheduled for 11 o'clock, and at 10, like, 58, I got a text from a realtor. Hey, do you have a minute? I have a deal going sideways.
Oh, yep.
And guess what? Normally, I would have dropped everything. I can't miss out on a deal, right? And I was like, I'm going into a meeting. I'll call you right after. Like, we've got this. I'll take it. We'll figure it out. I promise.
She's saving the deal. It wasn't her.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It wasn't my deal. I was gonna swoop in and
save
the deal.
That's her specialty.
Yes, I love saving the deals. So much fun. I'm taking one over today that was supposed to close Thursday. Wells Fargo. Anyways, so 2 minutes before my meeting, but I held strong. I honored my time. I knew I had that meeting scheduled with my coach. And I normally, like, let's say 3 months ago, I probably would have dropped what I was doing and said, hey, I had to work on something urgent. So long story short, I took over the file. It was like a Monday. I flipped the file over on a Tuesday. We were cleared to close a week later.
Right.
We were supposed to close the following day, but the seller ended up extending. Of course, they always do that.
Right.
But guess what? Do you know how much I'll earn from that one deal? More than her coaching.
Yeah.
And it was such a sign for me. I'm like, okay, I'm listening, right?
Correct.
Right.
I know this is the right move because now I'm in the energetic frequency where that pays for itself.
Energetic frequency.
Yes.
Do you see why we're friends?
This is why we hang out a lot.
Do you see why we're friends? We speak the same woo-woo language.
Well, and that's why you see all these people who are super successful and they carry this
100%.
Momentum. And you're like, oh my God, what are they doing? I want to be more like them. But it's just this momentum and you just want to work with them.
Yep.
And they're not pushing. For the last 7 months, I've been pushing.
Right.
And I'm not saying that doesn't work and doesn't keep you busy enough, but it doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
And it's not fun.
Right.
I was like, I don't like who I am. I'm like, where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing?
Yes. I was like midlife revolutioning. Like, what's happening?
I know. She threatened.
And why reinvent the wheel? If if someone else has already achieved what you're trying to achieve yourself, why reinvent the wheel and try to do this shit on your own?
Yeah.
Get aligned with someone who's done it and be like, okay, so how did you get there?
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing is, and there's a couple things that I see a lot of times with coaching. We had a lot of conversations. So just to give you a little background, I just spent the last 2 days, not the last two because I was at Backstreet Boys the other night, but that was the fun part of the event. I was at Forward 2025. Anybody who knows, social media knows Neil Dingra. He's a big name in social. Dan Martell was speaking, Sharon Shavista. It's a whole, I'm going to butcher a bunch of names, a whole bunch of amazing speakers.
Welcome to my
One of my favorites that I connected with, and I cannot wait to become a part of his coaching. And I think I'm going to definitely make it happen is Chris Doe. Never thought you know, never even knew who he was at the beginning. You know, he's got a million followers, big following. I think I resonated with him. And I think that's a big thing, too, with coaching. Find someone who you resonate with, someone who kind of matches your vibe, and go with it. Now, I don't think there's ever going to be a coach that has everything. Like anything else, they're not going to match every single box. They're not going to check every single box that you have, right? But that's okay. Take the pieces you can from them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be with the same exact coach forever either. Like, you can do different things. You know, I have a coach. My coach right now is mainly social media based, right? Mm-hmm. So now I've learned, okay, good. I've gotten that basis. I think I'm going to continue a little bit of that, right? Just to stay fresh. But now I need to take it to another level, and I need to find a different business coach that lines more with the business side.
And there's so many different coaches for different things. I've had tactical ones. I've had ones I would label as more woo-woo.
Right.
I've had people in between. I had a coach who was a medium.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've taken things to the next level. I mean, you name it, I've probably done it.
But you have to invest in yourself to figure that out. And I think a lot of people's big hurdle is the money part. They're like, oh, it's $3,000 for coaching. It's a money grab. Ew, they're trying to, they just want money, and that's how they got rich. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay, one, they need to make a fucking living. Let's be real.
And awesome. Good for them.
And to your point, okay, let's say it's $3,000, right? Because that's what I'm battling with right now, because I want to join Dan Martell's group. He's freaking phenomenal, right? But the 2-month program is $3,000, and then it goes like 4 months for $6,000 or whatever, and it goes up from there, right? In the scope of things, oh my God, that's a lot of money, right? But that's less than one deal for most of us, depending on where you're at in the industry. You know what I mean? And if you do that $3,000 for 2 months and you learn just one new thing that brings you more business, hello, wake the fuck up. You know, and we were talking about earlier before the podcast, you know, I've talked to a lot of agents that are just like, oh, when I get the money, if I get the money, when I get the money, you know, I'll try. And then I see those same people booking $500 concert tickets and $1,000 to go see freaking whomever, you know, like, you know how many people right now are spending thousands of dollars to go see Beyonce sing a country concert, and she's not even a country artist. Sorry, not sorry.
One's sorry.
Blows my mind. I'm like, so you're going to spend $1,200 to go see some singer for
We're going to get all the Beyonce fans in the comments.
Sorry.
Good. Bye. She's a phenomenal artist. Country's not it. But it's like, you'll spend that money on that, but you're not going to invest in yourself, and you're going to come up with all these layers of reasons why you shouldn't. Just do the damn thing and see what happens. And if you do the damn thing, you spend the $3,000 and it doesn't, okay, well, that wasn't what I thought it was. I guarantee you're still going to get something out of it that's going to make you money.
Oh, 100%.
Period.
And don't get me wrong, I have not earned my return on everything I invested in.
Correct, right.
And that would be insane if you did.
That would be awesome. I mean, when I look at it as a whole, I do think that I am up more than I'm down. Like, kind of like Vegas, right? It's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Have I won more than I lost?
Right.
And I do think that as a whole, I have earned way more than I've invested in coaching overall. There were certain things I invested a lot of money in and I didn't take as much from. And there was other things that paid tenfold, right? So it all kind of evened out. You know, I paid $15,000 for a trip to Ireland, a retreat that I went to with one of my coaches.
Yeah.
Am I going to get a return on that directly? That's harder to quantify. Did my life change because of that retreat? It did.
Right.
So it's really hard sometimes to put a number on it. But if you're starting with coaching, I recommend starting with something that is a little bit more tactical that you can say, okay, here's what I'm doing right now, right? We're in a business right now that some people would say is declining or maybe becoming a little bit, it's becoming more of a challenging industry, but it's how you look at it too. But let's look at where you're at now. Right. Hire that coach. And where are you at in 3 months? And if
re-evaluate.
You're not doing more, right, then OK. But take what I always say, take what you love, leave what you don't, because what someone tells me that I don't agree with tells me just as much as what they tell me that I am like, oh, I love that. Right.
Yep.
Because I'm like,
you know what you're aligning with.
Yeah.
At that point.
If I'm like, oh, I don't love that. Right. I worked with a great group, Mortgage Marketing Animals. They're coaches for lenders specifically.
Oh, I got to meet them. No, I was just with them.
Oh,
I literally.
Them. I love them, by
you
the way.
You were with the monkeys?
Yeah, they're fans.
Yeah, I was with the Mortgage Dads. I got to meet the Mortgage Dads. They were on Mortgage Marketing
so
Animals. The Realtor Playbook guy was there. Everyone that was in real estate or mortgage that is somebody who has become somebody was at this event. And to me, what I took from that, I'm like, they're already where I want to be. but they're still getting coached. Yeah. They're still going to events to learn more.
You have to always keep learning.
Everyone. And I sat back and like, and a lot of people don't, I think deeply way too often sometimes. And I literally walked out of the event the first day after meeting all these people I followed for years that are like million followers, 55,000, 400,000, whatever. And they're coaching people. The coaches are getting coached.
And they're everyday people, like, by the way. They're no one special. Like, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that we all have the capabilities to be just like them. Like, if you're seeing them, they're in your energetic field.
Yep.
The possibility is there. Right. We look at these people and put them on a pedestal that's like, they're better than us. They're not.
They're not. They're so
and they
freaking
know
cool.
They're not. They're okay with it. They're just like, hey, I'm just like you.
And they're willing to share their tips and tricks on how they got wealthy.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because they don't look at you like competition. I think in this industry, there's so many people that look at other lenders and other realtors and other title companies even like, oh, they're the competition. I can't do you should probably associate yourself with the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Help
Absolutely.
Build each other up. And you never know what could happen. I mean, that competition maybe one day might work for you. That competition maybe one day might be the reason you're getting to the next level because they're like, hey, okay, you want to run a brokerage. You want to start your own mortgage company. I already did that. Let me tell you what I fucked up with so you don't fuck up with that, right?
Yeah.
And think of it like the most minuscule thing. I'm sorry, I'm fired up after this event.
That's okay. We love it.
My
Bring
pool,
it.
My pool, right? You know, I built my own pool at my house during COVID. I asked every single one of my friends and neighbors and everybody else who already had a pool, what did you fuck up with? Like, where did you go wrong so I don't make the same mistakes you did?
Yeah, so smart.
Pool it's, coach.
It's like, you know, do that with your business. Hey, where I want to be where you're at. Like, what do you have? I mean, don't be afraid to ask those questions.
Yeah. How many clients have you lost that you haven't just said, hey, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
What could I have done differently to earn your business?
Oh my God, just ask the questions. Be bold.
What do you have to lose? What's the big deal? We're also scared of what someone's going to say.
It's our ego, not ego, like egotistical ego, as in like
our brain.
One of the cool things that Neil was talking about on stage that was a very simple thing. It was at the end of the event. He was talking about gathering feedback from us for the event. Mm-hmm. What went wrong? What didn't? Right? I think, and something I'm going to adapt. And I just had this conversation with an agent. We're planning a broker's open and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the big things is, hey, I want to get feedback on the home so that way I can better position this to the client and let them know, hey, like, we are overpriced. Hey, but here's what I've learned, right? Broker's opens, you put those little feedback forms out. No one fills them out because they're scared to do it in front of people. They don't want you to see them do it.
Yep.
Most feedback is like that. And then even if you do, let's say, SurveyMonkey, right? If it captures their name and their email address, you're not going to get clear feedback. You're still going to get the cookie cutter responses because their fear is, fuck, they're going to know Melvin wrote this. They're going to know KJ wrote this, right? So one thing that Neil said that I really loved was he was like, if you're going to get feedback, you need to. For everything you do, you need to get feedback. Every event, every transaction, whatever. He said, make the feedback 100% anonymous. Do not capture their name. Do not capture their email. Don't even follow up with them.
Smart.
He said, 100% anonymous feedback. You're going to hear the real voice and the real concerns of those people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to adapt that into my open houses and brokers open. I'm going to put up a QR code. When that pops up, it's going to be very blatantly, hey, this is 100% anonymous. I have no clue who you are. I'm not going to find out who you are. And I'm going to allow them to do that on their own time with their own phone. It'll look like they're texting. It'll look like they're on Instagram, right? And they're going to be more willing to do that. A quote that I heard, and this was one of our speakers, Ryan Leake, who I love. I sent you the book, How to Deal with Complicated People. I cannot wait read this book. He spent a shit ton of money just on the graphics and cover, had like an award-winning graphics artist. And his whole speech was on, he called it the game of inches, right? And don't think dirty, get out of the gutter.
I was like,
uh-oh. Inch matters.
But
no, it's the game of inches. And he was talking about how, you know, one extra inch in whatever you do can be the reason why you excel past someone else,
right?
Yeah,
it's like a boiling point, right? There's so like one degree different.
Yeah, and his book, right? His book that he did when he was getting it ready for print or whatever, he was getting ready to do the graphics and all that. They say, hey, someone told him you need to reach out to this guy. And this guy is like a world-renowned artist, whatever, super expensive, right? He was like, why would I spend that kind of money? So then he's like, you know what? After lots of conversations, he's like, you know what? Let's just do it. And he got the book over to the guy, got it, started doing the design, whatever. When he was talking about the game of inches, what set this artist apart when it came to his book was they're required, his team, not only the artist, but his graphics design team, is required to read the entire book beginning to end before they even start designing.
Wow.
The covers, the
so
pages.
So smart. I never would have thought of that.
Correct.
Right?
That's what I said. So he was like, again, he was like, what made this guy special was that extra inch that he took.
Yep.
And by them all reading the book, they were able to grab the graphics in this book. I almost want the paper copy. I should have got it. They were giving them out for free. I went out the wrong fucking door. Yeah, I did. I went out the wrong door and I didn't get one. But Neil, I need one.
You know,
Neil,
you can buy it, right?
I can, but I like free is great. But I will buy it. I already did buy it, actually, the Kindle version. But, you know, one thing he said on stage that I got the quotes. I love some of the stuff he said. But awareness without action is just observation.
Oh, that was from NLP.
I was like, oh.
Do you remember?
Yes.
And then when it comes to like the books, right? And you're a book, you're my book queen, my book queen.
I is.
He said, the best book you have ever read is the one you applied.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, oh.
I love that.
But like listening to Ryan speak, his whole, you know, whole theme of his lecture was just the significance of business and personal growth from small intentional actions. Self-awareness, applying knowledge, human connection, striving for excellence. And he did, again, he was someone else, talked about external feedback, consistent application, and intentional behaviors to create unforgettable experiences. And
oh, wait, say that last part.
Intentional behaviors to create unforgettable experiences.
Okay, if you're listening to this, write that freaking down on a piece of paper or put it in your notes or like save it as a background in your phone. That is the key to the customer wow experience that you need to be giving if you're in this industry, no matter what you do.
And it's funny you say that because I always tell my clients, listen, I strive for a 5-star review. And that means a 5-star experience, right? It's not about the review. It's about getting
the experience.
That experience. Yep. And one of the things I was thinking of recently is I'm like, I really want to call people after a 5-star review and say, like, not only thank you because I appreciate them. And that's something I've done pretty consistently. But what in the process could have been different to make it even better,
if
right?
6 stars was an option, how could I got?
Yes, right? That? Hey, I know I told you I strive for 5 stars. I want to strive for 6 out of 5. Why not?
Right.
What could have taken your experience to the next level? Because they already love you. You're opening the door for anything that came up, right? And you're still asking for that feedback. And I've done that on the ones that are lower than 5. It's like, okay, what could I have done differently to make this a 5-star experience? But this is kind of prompting me to take a different approach. It's like, I have a lot of 5-star reviews. What would happen if I asked them what could have made the
process
even better?
What would have took it over the edge?
Yeah. What would have made you, you know, put me in your wedding?
That's hilarious.
What do I need to do to be your maid of honor?
In the wedding, right?
Okay, just a bridesmaid.
I know.
I mean, it's there's so much. What I'm going
to... Okay, just to the bachelorette.
Right, that'll work.
Yeah, sounds like
fun. We'll send you to Vegas. You
can go. I'll drive the bus.
Boop, boop.
Party. You know, what I'm going to offer is like, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and anything we say resonates with you, any of the quotes or anything that I'm bringing up, this is all from this event, anything that I'm discussing here. I have it all laid out for you. So shoot me a text, email, DM, whatever form of communication, snail mail, send a fucking pigeon.
I was just going to say carrier pigeon.
Whatever you want to send. And I will make sure you get a copy of every audio clip, every person that spoke, I recorded them. I have notes for every single person.
He does not gatekeep. This is for sure.
No, not at all, because I think people know this. And like, you know, our good friend Gogo always says is like, you know, 90% of the people who listen and they don't take action, the 10% to do, we're going to stitch. They're going to shine.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're going to be the ones making the money.
And no need to gatekeep when there's so much abundance to go around. It really...
That part. Mm-hmm. You know, that part. Everybody's going to connect with somebody differently.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're worried like, oh, they're going to take my business... Someone's going to connect with Katie very differently than they're going to connect with my other lender.
And I've been in the zone where I look at other lenders and I'm like, I wish I could be as good as them. So I'm not saying I don't sometimes feel that way. It's just in general, I love being friends with lenders. That's one big struggle I've had down here is, you know, people tend to think, oh, are they trying to recruit me? Are, you know, what are they doing? And it's like, I just want to be friends.
Right, yeah. Right.
So if you're a lender out there looking for a friend, like I love lender friends because I can run scenarios by them. They can run them by me. It makes me feel like I did good today. I helped someone figure something out, you know.
I'm going to compete with you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't come across many people down here. So it's not like, even if I did, even if we were constantly competing, it's no big deal. I mean,
there's enough
of my best friends up north, we're in the same company, same market. We work with some of the same realtors. Like, you can't compete more than that. Yeah. You're offering the same thing. So there's no way to do a competitive advantage there, right? But we're all friends.
Well, I will say, if you are competing with someone in your own industry, that's a good time to look at and go, okay, do they have a coach? Because, like, if I want to like step up my game. Maybe I should get a coach. Like, that is my competitor. And, like, we are pretty closely matched, like, skill-wise, relationship-wise, like, whatever. That extra inch, if you will, is get a freaking coach.
I'm get a coach.
Bring us back into the...
I love it. And, you know, one thing...
keep us on track. Like, whip it.
That is not my specialty.
You know, there was so much that I soaked up. And, and, you know, when I left here, I was like, my gosh. So, right now, my challenge is figuring out, okay, which coach do I want to start with? You know, because, like... they all taught me so many different things. And, you know, like I was talking to you earlier, Chris Doe, if you don't know who he is.
How do you spell his name, Doe?
D-O. Like Chris Do.
Do. I love it.
But Chris, you know, I didn't know who he was when he first got up there. And we talked a lot. And what I loved about him is he just, in a man in his position, everywhere we went, even when he wasn't speaking, my guy would whip out a sheet of paper or anything he could write on, and he would just teach people all day. You would see him in a corner writing things down, showing people charts, how to do this, how to do that. He's won Grammys.
Wow.
He's done all the graphics design for U2 and the Coldplay. Like, there's a whole list.
Cool.
Apple, Adidas, Audi. Like
Adidas? I've never heard it pronounced that way.
Adidas.
Really
how do you say it?
He said
Adidas.
Adidas.
How do you say it?
Well, he called it Adidas.
Adidas.
You know, but like listening to him, I mean, some of the stuff he said, and this is one I really, really loved. He said, good is expected. That's the cost of entry. We need to focus on being different. And I, you good girl?
Oh my God.
Is your leg kicking out to the side?
Yeah, if that was
I mean, there's so much he said. He said, you know, have the courage to be disliked. We haven't, you know, we've heard that one before. He said, different is better than better. I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
Different is better than better. Are we going to put some of these on t-shirts?
And we should.
Yeah,
actually,
so
he
fun.
Designs the t-shirts, so I can have him design some for us. I have a whole plan.
He's got a brain dump on me later this week. It sounds not as cool as it sounds.
Service to others.
I'm like, he's going to
work. Dick. Gutter.
Gutter.
Reeling it back in.
Gutter ball.
Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on Earth.
Say again.
Service to others is the rent that you pay for your room here on Earth. I was like, oh my
that
God.
That like got me in the field.
No.
That one got like, me right in there. The
you know, so like there's just so much that you can get out of a coach. I mean, like, and these people, you know, not all coaches are up in the upper echelon of like, you know, millionaires, right? But how the fuck did you think they get there? You know, and it's so cool to hear what they have
to
say.
And if you hire a coach who doesn't have a coach, don't.
There's that part.
Just don't.
You know, I agree.
You should, I mean,
I agree.
Real, and that's actually one reason I took a step back from coaching is like, I'm not going to coach if I'm not being coached because I knew that I couldn't be the best for my clients.
It's almost like imposter syndrome type dealio.
Yeah,
you know,
and I'm
like,
not saying you can't. I'm just saying if you're not working on yourself to grow and get better, how are you able to help your clients get better? You're going to tap out, essentially.
Right. You know? Oh my God, that reminded me like a RuPaul quote. Oh. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get out of here?
I love it. That also needs to go on the t-shirt, right?
That might be copyright issued there, but you know.
Well, you can just put RuPaul.
We'll get the permission. It's fine. Yeah, it's quoting.
I got a picture with him at the Wax Museum.
Oh, at the Wax Museum.
But I mean, it's I think if you're ever on the fence about a coach or like you don't know if it's worth it, I just tell you, I challenge you to just give it a try, man, and see what you can soak up and really, really commit to it. Don't just take it lightly and do it. And I'd say the flip side of it and something I wrote down to kind of touch on is I understand that like financially, this is not a thing for everyone. It's expensive.
Yeah, I'm going to encourage you to think a little differently because a lot of variations on the cost of coaching. So you can buy coaching online. Some of them are free.
Say,
hey, this is the first coach I'm going to hire because you're still giving your time. So there's an energetic exchange there. So it doesn't have to be money, right?
Yep.
So if money is not what you can offer at this time, offer your time.
Yep.
You know, take the free courses because guess what? Coaches want to give you stuff for free because they want you to see how awesome they are. So there's a lot of stuff out there that you can get from people.
And see who you align with.
Right. The trick is don't just get everything free from everyone. Pick someone who you feel like you could ultimately see yourself working with. Take in their free content and say, okay, I'm going to implement this. And once I get to this point, I'll know I'm ready for this program.
Right.
Yeah.
most of them have tiered programs, right? Some of them, if they've been doing it a long time, they might only be doing a certain thing.
Right, right.
But most coaches who are out there, they have something you can download for a dollar or, you know, or 30 or whatever it might be. So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to pay $3,000 a month for a coach. You
don't. Let's take it another route, right? What I was going to get at with that coaching thing and the money part is, right, fucking podcasts are free. All these coaches have podcasts where they talk about all the fundamental things that they usually coach on, right?
Yes.
The only difference is you're not getting that one-on-one. It's kind of like, you know, for some of us, I'll use the gym. Like, I go to F45, right? It's team training in a group setting. You know, you're not paying for one individual trainer. It's a group class. And that's how I think of, like, a podcast. Okay, like, you still have the coach, but it's more like a group setting situation. It's not specifically individualized to you right now, but you can take those fundamental pieces of what they're talking about and apply them. And even outside of that, if you're on this journey like I am, trying to figure out who fits for me, listen to their podcast. Listen to their – go to their YouTube channels. Go, you know, subscribe to their Instagram feeds and all that and just watch.
There's a lot of content out there that you can get started.
Right.
Absolutely. And say, okay, I'm going to implement these strategies with this coach and – when I get to this point, I have a line in the sand. I'm going to hire them for this or whatever it might be. But you have to be able to invest in yourself. And I think that involves more time than money. You know, money ultimately, of course, too.
But I always say, like, the money will always come.
Yeah.
The money will always come. The thing I was going to say earlier when you were like, ask universe or God or whatever you're talking to. I posted this thing on my story the other day. I was like, give your dreams to the universe. It will fund it. Like,
it does.
You don't have to figure it out. Just give it to whatever version of the universe.
And when I was struggling the most, I was not giving it to God. I was not giving it to the universe. I was taking it upon myself to hustle and grind to try and figure things out.
Hustle,
very
culture,
painfully.
Grind culture is
very painfully.
Dead.
A lot of tears.
Yeah, it is dead.
You know, frustration in my marriage with my kids because I was a different
You were married
person.
To your kids?
No, my marriage and my kids.
So what I was going to say along with that is sometimes when people are thinking about getting a coach, it's like, well, when I get the money. Well, money, yes, will come, but you also have to have a plan for that. So like every additional, like I normally, let's say a person who's in real estate normally makes, let's say, 10 grand a month. Anything over 10 grand a month, let's just say that as an example to keep the numbers. I'm making it, let's say 1 month you make 13,000 or you make four. That extra money needs to go into a coaching account. And you have to be specific because there's a reason that extra money was given to you. And it wasn't just to go buy concert tickets. It was for you to get more money.
Yeah.
So
that's
then
where
now
a lot of people
20 month
have trouble,
produce,
right? They get this extra money and then they go on the cruise or they buy the Louis Vuitton or, you know, the fancy
shoes. But imagine
shoes
how
that
many Louis
Vuittons
you can buy
that
if
part,
you're making
that
so
part,
much
that
more
part,
money
that part.
From coaching.
You're speaking to my soul.
And by the way, I have a Louis Vuitton. I'm not saying don't buy the Louis Vuitton.
Correct. We're saying you could buy more.
Exactly. I mean, I'm saying, why are you holding out
for more? We're saying maybe
don't
buy the next one now. Put that into coaching. And then once you're done, you implement. You know, you might have to wait a little while, right? You might have to put it on hold for a little bit.
Be specific about it. So I tell my clients this when they're trying to prepare to purchase a house. Because a lot of people right now are in mortgages that might be less than their future mortgage is going to be because of a couple reasons. I work with a lot of first-time buyers, so a lot of them are moving up. We're in an environment where rates are higher than they were before, right? Their payments most likely going to be higher than they're used to. So one of the pieces of advice I give, and I think this can translate into a lot of other things, is it's like, okay, great. So you can afford a mortgage of $3,500 and you're paying $2,000 and have nothing saved, right?
Right.
What would happen if you saved $1,500 a month? Well, all of a sudden in a few months, we have our buffer, right? And you feel energetically better with the payment than just, oh my God, I have to pay that much more. So do the same thing with coaching. You know, my husband, when we started working together at Annie Mac, I said, when you come to work with me, why don't we put 10% aside into a Jeep fund? And he's like, is this for real? Is this a trick? I'm like, no, you deserve it, right? Because what I want him to see is that the more energy he puts into working with me, the more he gets out of it, the bigger his Jeep gets. Just added tires.
How big you want your Jeep?
It quite literally got bigger, right?
Literally.
And then we can move to the next thing. But it's something that excites him. So if this is something that sounds exciting to you, put a plan together to take action on that. Right. Maybe it's a percentage of your commissions, right? Maybe 10% of your commissions goes into a separate account, but be conscious of it, because otherwise what happens is you get extra money, you go to Disney, you get extra money, you buy the purse, you buy the shoes.
Prime Day.
Yeah, whatever, whatever it might
be. Got a whole ass TV this time.
Oh my God, I want a pizza oven. That's on our list. I want that pizza oven so bad. We do pizza a lot. So
I'll just get a smoker and then it'll make him happy. And
we have a smoker. Can we use that for pizza?
Yeah, I smoke pizza all the time. You put it up to like, you put it up to like.
What else do you smoke? Put it up to 400. I smoke pizza all the time.
Well, that's a topic for another podcast.
That's for the pizza.
That's for my other podcast I'm going to do eventually.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I mean, that's so funny you say that, because it led me in another note that I took down. I highlighted because I was like, this one's a good one too. The number one decision, this was Omar was on stage, who, just background on him, he came to that event like 4 years ago, making under 100K. Kind of stuck, couldn't get past that 100K thing. And now he's making like multiple seven figures just by implementing. And he said, you know, multiple times, he was like, in the room, there's only ever like 25% of people that get it and implement it. He said the number one distinguishing characteristic he found with uber successful people is their ability to take quick action.
Yeah.
And it's called speed of implementation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Early adapters.
That's
early
why
adapters.
They say if you need something done, ask the busiest person in the room, because guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it and move on.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. It's just, it's crazy, because so many people have this doubt, you know, this fear of, you know, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. It's nuts. And then, you know, there was another topic that really, really struck me, because this one, you guys might like this one. They were talking about like one trick ponies, right? They were like, yeah, like, you know, they're one trick ponies. Like,
you know, I love how you look like you're riding a pony right now.
Like, hey.
I don't know if that's how you ride a pony, but
I don't know.
That's how they did it at. Come on in. Let's do it. Ride it.
I used to love that song. I just didn't really get it.
Did you like it genuinely?
Genuinely.
You know, so he was talking about like one trick ponies and how, you know, everybody always likes to, oh, they're only good at this. Oh, they're only good at that. Oh, they're just a one trick pony or whatever. And it was so funny because he said, you know, his daughter changed his perspective on one trick ponies. And she was like, Dad, you know what a one trick pony is? And he was like, what? He's like, she goes, a unicorn.
Like,
a unicorn is a one trick pony. And then he started diving into it. He goes, let's talk about one trick ponies. He was like, you know, think about some of the most successful people in the world. He's like, Messi, right? He plays soccer. That's what he's good at.
He doesn't do anything else.
You got Michael Phelps. He was one of the best swimmers.
They've done pretty well for themselves, I
think. Right, correct.
You know?
He's like, there's Michael
Their
Phelps.
Trick
he's
is
like,
really good.
Michael Phelps. He's, what is he good at? Swimming. You know, like he's a one trick pony.
Yeah.
Then he goes down the list of all these other uber successful people. They're really only good at like one thing.
Right.
But they hyper focus on that one thing and they perfect it and they make that one trick their moneymaker, right? So
I was talking about this last night because it was at BNI this morning. So I'm in a BNI group in Brandon.
Last night, because
I know I'm like
5 o'clock
all my
in the morning
together. Yeah, you're right. It is very early. So.
I don't know what time it is. I'm still three hours behind. So
Bruce Lee.
What day is it?
I think it was in a movie. You know, one of those karate movies. But
yeah.
He said he'd rather go against.
Yeah, he talked about that too. I have that quote.
Oh, do you?
He said,
tell me.
Yeah, go. Because if you don't know it, I know it.
I don't know it.
Okay, so the quote.
I was going to butcher it. Take it away.
It's a Bruce Lee quote, and essentially it was talking about how he's more afraid of, you know, one person that practiced a single kick 10,000 times versus one person who practiced 10,000 different kicks.
Oh.
Right? He's more fearful of that one person that perfected that one kick.
Oh.
It's kind of like jack of all trades, master of none.
I fucked it all up too. I'm going to get the real quote.
No, I like it.
I'm not saying you don't have to know how to do a bunch of things, but what would happen if we put our focus into being an expert on one thing? Like amazing things.
Amazing things. You'll be a unicorn in your industry.
Yes.
And that's what you want.
I love
to be.
It. I love
you know,
it.
You know,
here he goes.
I'm a two trick pony.
I fear not
the
man.
Quote.
Let me put my voice on. I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
End quote.
how long has Bruce Lee been English?
You know, I didn't want to go the other route. This is less offensive if I do the British voice.
I have never heard him. I've heard him do so many voices.
I cannot breathe, okay?
I have never heard him do that.
I've never heard myself do
ever.
It. I don't know where it came
that
from.
That was amazing.
Every quote from now on has to be in whatever. That was like,
oh my God, I'll
what's
find
the
it
dude
out.
That all does the like, dragon voice of like James Earl Jones slash
oh
someone
gosh.
Else?
My Morgan name Freeman. Is Optimus
Morgan
Prime.
Freeman. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, yep. That guy.
Autobots.
You know what it made me think of?
Roll
there's,
out.
This guy on, there's this guy on TikTok and he was doing a stitch with something. And the guy just had this voice that you're just like, oh my God. And the guy's in his car and he's watching
the,
it.
The gray haired guy?
Yes. And the guy goes, just take off my pants.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not gay, but just take off my pants.
Just do it. His voice
like,
was
it, his
so...
voice is just like,
I'll find it for you.
Yeah. So if you could master that voice, I
you
think
could do
that
anything.
Could really work. Yeah.
Make that like your third or fourth trick.
Oh, you know
yes.
what?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're a one trick. I'm sorry. Can you have other tricks that are just
you
not
can
as
have
good?
Side tricks.
Side tricks? Can you have side tricks?
Not to be confused with side chicks.
Oh, I
Let
think
me
they're
call
the same.
Side silly rabbit tricks are for kids.
So one of your side tricks is definitely voices. For
yes.
Sure.
But
yeah,
go ahead.
That,
that was impressive.
Another guy that spoke that I thought was really cool is Johnny Cupcakes. His name was Johnny Cupcakes, right?
That's not real.
And it is. And
I
it's
have
crazy as everybody said that his company wasn't real and it wasn't a thing. He always jokes about it. He's like, you
his
know,
birth certificate.
He's like, I created a bakery that doesn't bake. They bake T-shirts.
Oh.
And it, but what he does is his business is very hyper-focused on memories. So like he says, you know, what did he say? He says, I don't sell merchandise, I sell memories.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he very hyper-focuses on people's emotions. Like, for example, one of the examples he uses, he has a breakfast shirt that he comes out with like breakfast and eggs and stuff on it. It's only sold during breakfast hours. It's only available in certain spots and it comes with a free breakfast meal. And if you show up after breakfast hours, you don't get a shirt. He will not sell you a shirt.
Where is this?
He doesn't have a store now. There's a whole piece, but it was in Boston. He's had them all over the world. But he recently had a series of events and an employee that kind of stole from him while his mom was passing away.
Oh,
and
my
like, God. So he shut down his whole store right now. So it's all online. You know, but what he said that I really liked was on the point of like spending money, right? He said, I always say my $10,000 mistakes inspire my $100,000 ideas.
Ooh.
You know, so like he's like, yeah, have I messed up?
Expensive lessons
he's like,
sometimes.
Right.
Correct. And he's like, I've messed up so many times, but he creates these memories and he goes so far. And this is like for us, I took so many notes because this is what we love is to create these experiences and moments. And, you know, for like his Halloween themed or his spooky themed ones, right? He rented a hearse one time and had himself delivered in a casket at a random location that he put out on social media. And that's the only time you can buy that shirt. And people lined up.
That is amazing.
At one point, he had people lined up for like 3 weeks for a specific release that he did on these T-shirts. You know, and it's led to all these different partnerships, but he creates this very unique experience that no other brand.
Like that Hermes bag that sold for what, $10 million?
It's
can't
crazy.
The original?
Cannot even.
I'm
so
like, eh.
Here's
so
something
is his
that,
demographics unemployed people? Because like who has 3 weeks to line up?
No, these people have money. I mean, he has such loyal.
Oh, they have so much money. They don't need to do anything.
Maybe.
Oh, for 3 weeks to wait
yeah.
for the shirt. Okay.
He said this that I wrote down for us that I love.
The demographic.
The ingredients of customer obsession are baked into remarkable experiences and experience principles.
Oh, I like that.
I know. Johnny Cupcakes, man. He was a cool freaking dude. And his company,
that's
when
so
you
cool.
look it up, is probably one of the coolest T-shirt companies I've ever seen. But, you know, it's all about the experience that you build. And I think having these coaches, like, had I not gone to this event, I wouldn't have had these thoughts, theories, ideas,
yep.
right? And had I not spent the money to go to this event, I would have never known these things. So now you get to watch what we start to implement going forward. And you get to see, you know, even if you don't do coaching now and you're afraid to do it, you'll get to see that what we're going to be doing going forward, right? And then you're going to be like, oh, shit, okay, so maybe it does work.
Mm-hmm.
I would have known any of these things had I not gone, you know? And he does, like, stuff that we love. Like
being in a room with
makes
people
makes an ice cream shirt, and he puts it in an ice cream container. You know,
oh.
he did a bakery item shirt, and the box looked like an oven. You know, like he does all
cool.
these very unique experiences
yeah.
that cost him a little bit more money, but then it brings back the customers over and over and over again.
Because they're like, and they're excited. They're like, what's this going to be?
Right.
Yeah.
They don't
well,
know what to
because different is better than better.
Different is better than better. So, I mean, it's just, I love the topic of coaching. I know
like
we're
it.
Working on our time frame, so we're doing pretty good right now.
Well, yes, we have, we get, in case you haven't
we
noticed,
talk
we
a
get
lot.
To talking, and then we get
oh,
to talking.
Oh, not me. I'm not much
talking.
Of a talker.
Right.
Yeah, right.
She never
no.
says. This is the most words I've ever heard her say.
Right.
But, so, Melvin came back from this trip. Actually, while he was there, he's like, Oh my God, blowing them up. Oh my God, girl. Oh my God.
Next year, you'll be sitting next to me. We'll be with you, Melvin, next year.
I'm so excited. I'm bringing all of my friends. Yeah. So anybody else who's interested, just shoot me a word. Just say forward or something, and I'll remember.
We'll look into group tickets.
Yeah.
We should.
I'll reach out.
But where are we at on time?
43 minutes.
Okay. So for Katie, super big believer in coaching. She does a lot of self-improvement, self-help. I don't like self-help as a word because it feels weird.
You know,
say.
I'm trying to think of the word.
Like, I feel like I bring things into my world and then I decide what aligns and what doesn't. So the things that align, they stick and it becomes part of my vernacular. Yeah. I love that word.
And I love partnering with agents too, because I see what they do from a different lens. And so that's how I built my entire business, was I started by coaching agents on things that they could do. And I'll give you an example. Agents are notoriously not great with their schedules because they don't look at it as if they need to have a schedule, because they became a realtor because of flexibility.
Right.
And there's a difference between keeping a schedule and being flexible.
An intentional day.
And right.
Ooh-lee-loo-lee day.
Yes, that's where I find a lot of realtors who are striving to get to the next level lack, is that, like, having some sort of structure and figuring that out. So that's something I've helped them with a lot. And I just love working with people who are open-minded to that. It's like, I don't have to work with the top realtors, you know, in the state. Like, do I love working with teams? Yes, because they understand the value of time. You know, if we have to release a client who's not going to serve either of us, they're okay with it. And just to be clear, I've released quite a number of clients over my time. And before, I used to think,
back to the wild.
Because I realized? So I used to say, there's a coach on Facebook that I follow. Her name is Melanie Ann Layer. If anyone's heard of her, I love her. She seems like a sweetheart. I don't know her personally, but we're best friends, obviously.
Obviously.
I follow her, and she always is saying, what's good for me, what's good for you, what's good for us, is kind of a collective.
Yes.
And what I realized last week, this was a really big epiphany for me. What I realized is that when I do what's best for me, it's actually best for everybody. And
right.
Sometimes you're going to think, well, how could that be, right? How could me telling someone that I don't like their cooking be good for everybody? Well, maybe that's what they're supposed to learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't want to go hungry. And I'm using that as a stupid example because it doesn't matter, right? But me releasing a client, maybe there's someone out there who's actually a better fit for them to help them find a house.
Right.
Or maybe they're not quite ready for home ownership.
Right.
Right.
You know, and maybe I save that realtor hours and hours of their time because they would have dragged us along the process and never purchased a house, right? So I started realizing what's best for me is actually best for everybody. And it was like, whoa, this is
crazy.
Wild.
That doesn't apply to everybody. But if you like, because there's some very self-centered, self-serving, selfish 100%. People.
100%.
But you're not.
Well, correct. Okay. So let me kind of reframe it a little bit. When I say I do what's best for me, I do it with love.
Right.
Right, right.
Within the best correct intentions.
Yep. Correct
okay?
intentions.
So there is a difference between doing what's best for you in a way that's selfish and in a way that is feeling like it's best for everybody.
Yeah. And sometimes feeling a little bit selfish, you can feel like, is this me being selfish? But it's really you creating a boundary, which a lot of people have a hard time discerning which one is which. Like, mm-hmm. I can't say that because then I feel selfish. No, you can say, no, I don't want to go to this event because I'm trying to, you know, stay sober or something and I don't want to be around drinking. That's right. Not you being selfish and not wanting to go. That's you creating a boundary. But like in your businesses, there's lots of ways your coaches can help you determine those boundaries.
Absolutely. And again, going back, like, let's talk about the sober thing. I'm going to make it really quick, but Dan Martell, right? You look at him, he's worth over $160 million. He builds this coaching thing. If you listen to his story, like, he was not in a good spot growing up. Like, he was in trouble all the time and drank and all this. And he even brought it up on stage. He's like, you know, I love when people tell me, oh, they ask me this and I say, oh, no, I'm sober, I don't drink. And they go, oh, my God, you're boring. He's like, I'm boring? He's like, I've skydived this, I've done this, I've gone around the world, I've had a boat, I've done this race, I've done – he goes down this list of all this shit he's accomplished. He's like, tell me again how I'm boring because I don't drink?
Right.
He's like, this is crazy. So don't let that get into your head.
No.
And don't worry about it. And these realtor events are notorious for the drinking.
I gave up drinking over 2 years ago now, and I still struggle kind of with my former identity. It's like, how can I have fun? Because I actually like being around drinkers still because it's very entertaining.
Hilarious.
Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of the speakers you listen to, the really top tier, like wealthy people who are giving back a lot of their time and growing other people, a lot of them have given up drinking.
Correct. Because clarity.
Right.
Clarity.
There's no substitute for not drinking when it comes to buying back your time, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. How much time do you lose? And I'm not saying right. you can't have fun. And I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with drinking because I support it. My husband's yeah. a drinker, like, great. I just think back to how many days did I lose
correct.
When I drank the night before?
Right.
You know, how many nights did I lose
and
when I woke
snowballs.
Up and said, what happened last night and why am I in your bed?
Oh, no.
Not like that, but I mean, oh, that happened no. too. I'm not going to lie. But I've been with my husband for 14 years now, so it's been a while since that kind of thing happened.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's like.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, seriously. So it's so true. And you want to model these habits of the wealthy and healthy and happy people. That's for me, yeah. that's the biggest difference. I feel like I'm getting back into my happiness and my joy. And when you get rid of mm-hmm. something that you've relied on to make you happy for so long, it's hard to figure out who you are and where you want to go next. That's
right.
another reason I love coaches. So,
yeah.
right. Cause they
I
really
love it.
Do.
Yeah.
Help
and they
you
see
discern.
Outside of you. They see your blind spots.
Correct.
Right. You can't.
And they hold you accountable.
Yes.
We need accountability.
I need a lot
of people think they just
sometimes.
Need it in like the gym. I'm like, I need it in more areas yeah. in my life. Like I need, you know, I mean, listen, I'll use KJ as an example. Like I had to hold her accountable for the calendar. It sounds mm-hmm. simple, but like we need accountability. Like, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with having that person like, hey, you got to do more. Hey, but I told you to do this. Why didn't you do it?
Suck at the calendar. And I'm like, yeah, I do. You're
what right. I would end it with and just to kind of wrap it up is, there's so many things I want to end it with, but okay, here's the one I'll end it with, right?
Pick your favorite.
So,
pick your favorite.
What is the thing that you don't have to do that if you did would make a massive difference? You know, and I think that leads back to coaching for me.
I'm confused. So what is the thing
that you don't have to do?
Like, it's not like requirement.
Like taking it to the next
but
level.
But if you
yeah.
did it, would make a massive okay. difference. And I think for
took
me.
Took my brain a little to compute that.
Yeah.
That makes perfect
you,
sense. Thank you
I
for clarifying.
I think for me, it would be coaching, right?
Yeah.
Getting outside of, okay, I've got the social media coaching. Giselle's freaking phenomenal. I don't ever want that to end, right? But now knowing, okay, now I need to take it to the next level because there's so much more to our business now than just social media, right? There's so many layers to this. So for me, that would be the thing. I don't have to do it. I don't have to spend the money on a coach. I don't have to spend yep. the time. I don't have to block that calendar for, you know, those couple hours to do that Zoom or that in-person
and what
whatever,
keeps coming up
right?
over and over for you too.
Right.
Right.
So, you know.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Great leaders
just
don't
work
just
with
take
Katie,
notes.
The mortgage
they take
lady.
Action.
You know you want to do it.
No.
I had to add that in.
What'd you say?
I said just work. You know, it was so subliminal. You didn't
she
even notice.
I said
just work with Katie, the mortgage lady. Just do it. I just added that in and neither of you like just blinked an eye. I'm like, yes.
Love it. No, I'll leave all her information as well in the podcast notes. Again, if anybody wants any of the notes from the event that I went to, I'm more than happy to share that with you. Reach out to me. Let me know. We appreciate all of you.
Well, I was going to say, with Katie, if you are a local, anywhere in Florida, really, because you're licensed yeah. in Florida and Massachusetts.
Florida, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. And I'm up in Mass a lot as well. So if anyone hears this there.
I say those states again.
So Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Florida.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
So anywhere in there, if you're listening to that, and Katie sounds like someone that's like aligning with your business, and you're like, you know, I want to work with a lender that just gets me and I don't have to explain how I feel. And you're like, this, I feel like this. She's going to have everything posted below. Melvin's so good about collecting everybody's information and putting it up there. She's on Instagram. She's on Facebook.
I started TikTok recently. I've
done
some fun
the
videos.
TikTok.
Oh,
my God.
I've seen him lately. But.
Kevin from Backstreet Boys was talking about it at the concert. It was so funny. He was like, you know, we put this thing out on the social medias. And he was like, and, you know, Instagram and Twitter and the TikTok. And everybody's in the crowd started laughing. He was like, guys, I'm 53.
Right?
Give me a break.
Yeah, give me some grace. I just got off of Facebook. Come on.
Right, I know. I didn't just open my eyes to everything.
She's everywhere.
She's everywhere all
what's
of
that?
The time.
What's that movie? Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a movie?
It is, and it's real wild.
It sounds exhausting.
It is. But yeah, I'll let you close it out, man. This was fun.
Yeah, this was a great time. Thank you for having me. No, I'm just super appreciative of you guys having me.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, as always, brew good, do good. Hearts. Oh, should we make a big like heart bubble?
Heart. That made some. I'm not sure. We just made a fucking pumpkin.
That was a 3D pumpkin.
No, I'm not sure what that was.
It was a love pumpkin.
Insert heart here.
Maybe we can do something with the graphics, okay?
Yeah, maybe.
You better put a pumpkin in there.
I'm about to hire someone to edit these things.
Oh, my God.
Brew good, do good next time.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, no. I'm leaving that in there. Okay, bye.
That's the last call for this round of Rebrew with Melvin and KJ and Milestone 2. From Tampa's breweries to deals done right, we'll catch you next time. Cheers and good night.